Hi, everybody. During the months of March and April, we are highlighting the work of Rios to Rivers in our community effort to showcase organizations who are working towards social justice, environmental action, and more inclusive public lands.
Rios to Rivers inspires the protection of rivers worldwide by investing in underserved and indigenous youth who are intimately connected to their local waters and support them in their development as the next generation of environmental stewards.
Founded in 2012, Rios to Rivers programs have connected 234 underserved and indigenous students from 20 endangered river basins in 7 countries. The programs have included students and community leaders from 21 indigenous nations.
Rios to Rivers envisions a world in which youth who are intimately connected to their local waters and tribal communities are equipped to become the next generation of passionate leaders for healthy rivers and communities.
Make monthly charitable giving a trend in your life in 2024 and help to support Rios to Rivers this March and April. Visit the link in our Instagram bio for more information.
We are now entering week 3 of government shutdown.
Week 3.
My goodness. And there have been consequences.
For years, Dusty. For years.
I cannot believe he said that. There have been serious consequences.
Yeah.
Because of this shutdown.
Yes. Obviously, the national parks is not the only branch of government that's being affected. So there are furloughed workers in a lot of the departments within the government. It's still affecting just 25% of the government. Recently, I just read that there may be some issues with the IRS at this point because I think some workers need to be furloughed there. And income tax returns are going to be backed up because of that for those early people who are filing. But in regards to the national parks, things have gotten a little dicey. Originally, there were some skeleton crews operating, of rangers operating in most of the parks. There are portions of parks or parts of parks that are being operated through third-party concessionaries or people that are giving donations. The Great Smoky Mountains.
Zion National Park that we are talking about for the first time on the podcast today is a good example of this. It will be open from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. daily through January 5th. Perhaps beyond, who knows, thanks to the generous donations of the state of Utah and the Zion Forever Project. But we have a serious problem in some of our national parks. Joshua Tree is in California is a really big example of this, which is garbage and restrooms.
Yes. So there was a great article by the Sacramento Bee that talks about a lot of the issues that we're facing in the parks. There is an overflow of trash in most parks. And a problem with the restrooms, which we kind of touched on in that government breakdown episode. It's really become an issue now where campsites and parks, which for a time were open without, you know, anybody necessarily operating them or check-in or check-out services. So yeah, there are campsites that are basically now needing to be shut down because they could be operated for a while without park rangers, but it's becoming a danger to the inhabitants of the campsites and also to the wildlife. There are even issues, not necessarily in the national parks, but in areas that are operated by the Park Service, like the National Mall.
In Washington, D.C.
There's a big issue because those sites are shut down. And the Smithsonian and the National Zoo just were shut down this past week, I believe. And there's no one there to collect the trash. So they're still public walkable areas. The mall is a wide open space and they still have trash cans that are on site, but it's the federal government's trash, which is really interesting because now what's starting to happen is that DC, the city itself, is actually starting to pull weight where they can and collect trash where they need to.
What did that person in Joshua Tree say?
We can't wipe the butts of everybody that passes through Joshua Tree.
Because there is a serious restroom problem.
Right. And all the campgrounds in Joshua Tree are now closed because of the issue of trash and overflowing restrooms. There's other parks that are out in California where there are other issues like Sequoia, parts of Sequoia and Kings Canyon have been closed. Because of overflowing trash and traffic jams. And we drove through both of those and there was like a little bit of like traffic even when we were there. I remember like going to Kings Canyon first and you had to kind of pass through Kings Canyon to get to Sequoia, or you could. And that way, remember, like right by their visitor center, it kind of backed up a little bit right there. So if on a given day, there can be issues of traffic when there's no one really manning the ship, girl. I can only imagine.
Mm-hmm.
And also some things like in Utah, arches and canyonlands have had to close too because there's no personnel to clear snow-covered roads. We talked about that as well.
Yep, yep.
And I think I even mentioned arches as a possibility for snow closures, but I wasn't really thinking that that was a possibility there. But is, clearly it is.
It is Utah.
Yeah, it is Utah. Who knew?
Who knew? Beautiful Utah.
Beautiful Utah.
And speaking of Utah, today we are talking about Zion National Park.
So Zion is in southern Utah. It's about an hour and a half, 2 hours from Las Vegas. It is a canyon. It's a part of the Colorado Plateau. So it's basically very high above sea level. The canyon walls are actually 2,000 foot walls, and they've been carved over the centuries by the Snaking Virgin River. So the park receives over 4 million visitors a year. It operates a tram system, which drops you, if you're in the main part of Canyon Valley, it drops you at the points of interest that are there. That's not the only park that does that. Yosemite also does that. And that's to really address the issues with overcrowding and parkability.
Parking.
Yeah, being able to park. But it's a free service and it works very efficiently. And I think in Zion, they seem to be much quicker than Yosemite. They pretty quick.
And also all of the drivers of all of the trams in Zion were narrating the whole time about all of the things you were seeing.
Right. So it was like a personal tour.
It was great. Oh, I loved it. So Zion is a word from the Bible. There is a place called Mount Zion, which is a mountain,
mm-hmm.
but it is Mount Zion, Zion became another word just to refer to Jerusalem.
Mm, okay.
The etymology of the word Zion is a little unknown. It's been passed on through many different languages. In some meanings of the word, it can mean castle or dry land. And in other meanings of the word, it can mean river or brook.
Hmm. It's very, very contradictory in senses of it.
It is a little bit.
Yeah.
And Zion National Park was not always called Zion National Park. Before it was Zion National Park, it was called Mukantaweep National Monument.
Okay.
That was set in place by President William Howard Taft in 1909.
So just like some other parks we've talked about, it was a national monument first and then made its way into national park status.
Exactly.
Okay.
In 1918, the Horace Albright, who was the acting director of the National Park Service, actually drafted a proposal to change the name to Zion National Park, being a term used by the Mormon community of Utah, because, according to this historian, Hal Rothman, quote, the name change played to a prevalent bias of the time. Many believed that Spanish and Indian names would deter visitors who, if they could not pronounce the name of the place, might not bother to visit it.
Wow.
The new name Zion had greater appeal to an ethnocentric audience.
Talk about whitewashing.
Ooh, for real, talk about whitewashing.
Yeah.
That is, girl.
Our checkered past. For America, our checkered past.
And then in 1919, Congress redesignated the monument as Zion National Park, and it was signed by Woodrow Wilson.
Mm. WW.
And that is where we got Zion National Park. And today, you're going to hear the story about when we climbed the Hidden Canyon Trail.
Looking for adventure, wanna follow on the trail, or get a little lost and let the wind fill my sails. Get up when the stars still fill the sky, don't wake the sun, there's so much to be done, and the day has just begun. Go where the postcards are real, you can feel, you can open your eyes and open your heart when you gaze at the national park.
Follow you, follow you there.
At the national park.
Follow you, follow you there.
At the national park.
Follow you, I'll follow you there.
Today we are talking about Zion National Park.
Right, our first day in Zion, which was a whopper of a day.
Whopper of a day.
Yeah.
This was also our first national park trip together.
And our first national park. together. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
So I had hilariously been to Zion National Park
right
prior to this, yes, and did not know that I was in Zion National Park. I had taken a trip like with a group of folks to Vegas, mm-hmm, and we had gone hiking somewhere, and I did not realize we were in Zion.
And there you go. Lo and behold.
Lo and behold. There. Was there. So this was our first adventure.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, we have had many other adventures.
I know.
But this was our first national park adventure.
Yes, yeah.
And the conceit for this was just to go to the Grand Canyon, but then you very intelligently were like, there's so many other national parks there. We need to hit as many as we can.
Oh, of course.
And so that is where all of this came about.
Right. And we did a stupid smart thing on this trip where we were like, we're going to save the Grand Canyon for last.
We're going to go to Zion first
because the Grand Canyon, you know, that's going to be the mother load. And
exactly.
Not that it wasn't.
But more details on that.
Let's talk about Zion now.
More details on the Grand Canyon on the Grand Canyon episode. Yeah. On this trip, we went from Zion to Bryce, to Arches, to Canyonlands, to Surprise, we made it to the Painted Desert
and the Petrified Forest,
and then Grand Canyon. So we ended up doing six parks in a little over a week because we are crazy people. Our journey began in the Philadelphia airport.
Right.
We were flying out of Philly
on Spirit Airlines, going on this trip. Which I know a lot of people like crap all over, but honestly, I really thought we had a pretty good flight. Like,
I enjoyed myself. There was nothing wrong with it.
We had that lovely lady that was sitting next to us who was like a mom of a college student.
Oh, yeah, that's
and she,
right.
We had like a long chat with her.
That's right.
And we ended up landing in Vegas like around midnight, right?
Do you remember the guy in line for the security line? Okay, so you and I were standing in line, and this guy in front of us has this giant backpack on.
Right.
And every time he moves, he literally, like, side checks me with the bag, and it, like pushes me, like, 3 feet every time he turns. And finally, he turns around, and he goes, "Hi, I would really appreciate it if you would stop running into my bag."
Right.
And the fire boiled up inside of me.
Right.
And I actually, in this moment, like, my discernment took over, and I was like, "I'm sorry, I'll make sure to keep some space."
Right.
I think he was having a moment, and I was like, "You know what? This isn't about me." No. So I stepped back.
No.
But then I was able to shade him just like the tiniest little bit because, when we got up to the security checkpoint.
Mm-hmm.
The TSA agent, she was like, "The two of you move forward." And I was like, "I'm going to let him go by himself.
Right.
He needs some more space."
Right.
And then he sort of gave me this eye. And I was like, I see you.
Yeah.
I see you. And I know it's not my fault.
Yeah.
But I didn't make it a thing.
You didn't. Until now.
Until now.
Right. Exactly.
So we had a great flight over to Vegas.
Yeah, it was great. It was easy. We landed. We were there like close to midnight, I think, was our landing time.
We thought... I had thrown this out because you had been to Vegas once before. Yes?
Yeah, my uncle lives out in Vegas.
Yeah, so you had been there, but when you were much younger.
Yeah, the last time I was there was when I was 16, I think.
And I'm
86 now.
Right.
Yeah.
And
so it was a long time ago.
And I'm younger than you, and I'm 71.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I was it would be really fun to do like a single gay bar when we arrive in Vegas. I was like, I think there's one right by the Red Roof Inn where we were staying.
Right.
So we finally get to the rental car place.
Yeah, because the car rental place is not attached to the airport.
No,
so you have to take a tram over to the rental car place. And we won't even mention the company that we rented from.
No, because we've rented from many, many companies.
We've rented from many companies. But this line...
Oh my God, there were, I think, two people working the counter. I felt terrible for those two people because there was... I counted, I think, 102 people in line when we arrived.
I mean, that was, you know, those were groups of people, but there were 102 bodies
in front of us. It took us an hour and a half to get to
the desk.
I think that was the beginning of some games, right?
Was that when we developed our plot for our movie script, or was that another time?
No, that was the beginning.
Okay.
That was the beginning, because
that game
lasted the whole trip.
Right.
Because we were like, what would be really fun? Because we both like scary movies. It's like, let's write a plot for a scary movie.
Yeah. So it took us forever to get to the car.
Took us
It was
forever.
Probably about like 1:30 by the time we
and
had the car.
And by the time we got into the car, we were both like, oh no, we are not going out.
No.
And by say going out in air quotes, I'm making air quotes right now because like that's not something I do all the time.
No.
We're that's
like
not...
living the grandma life.
Yeah,
there.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we were both like, no, we're tired. Good night.
Right. Going and the plan was to get up early. Really wanted to get up early.
Wait. What? The plan was the to plan. Get up early? You're
I know. What a surprise,
crazy
right?
With crazy. You? That's insane.
I know.
So we get to the Red Roof Inn.
And sleep for 20 minutes.
Well, also remember the guy at the Red Roof Inn at the desk? I'm pretty sure. I think he was like a conspiracy theorist.
Oh, I do remember this.
We got in and he was like, make sure that you don't put this room key near your cell phone.
Right.
Because
the government's listening.
The government is listening.
Right.
And then he went into, like, he started telling the guy that was the guard all about the sound equipment that he had purchased to make sure that he could hear things.
It was involved. And we were
like,
just like, give us our room key, please.
I was like, let's just live your life, make your choices.
Right.
And then we did finally get to the room. And now it's like 2:00.
And we're like, we're going to get up at 7.
We did. Well, we were like, it would be worth it to eat the continental breakfast right. provided by Red Roof Inn.
Which we did.
Which I think started at 7. It was a Red Roof Inn continental breakfast.
It's really all we needed.
All we needed. And then we hit the road.
We did. And you were driving because I was like, I don't feel comfortable driving the car on the first day because it was under Dusty's name. And we just kind of shared because... we are a life partner. What was that? When we were renting a car
we
on our last
trip. We
rented
a car once and it was like, do you want to add an additional driver?
Yes.
Is this driver your life partner? We both were like, well, don't know how to answer that.
Don't know how to answer that. Exactly.
Yeah, in this common law friendship.
Common law friendship.
So
I like that, common law friendship.
I like it too. So I drove. I think there was also some sort of thing about like certain amount of car insurance wouldn't like click in until after we were out of Nevada.
Right. And it was like, Nevada was like a no coverage state, right? There was something weird about that.
Yeah. Like if you, like some rental car companies have a thing where like if you pay with a certain credit cards will automatically add on rental car insurance.
Mm-hmm.
Which is what I had done.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't work in Nevada.
Right.
And that made me a little nervous, but I was like, oh, you know what? Like, we're only going to be in Nevada for like an hour.
Yeah.
So we'll be fine. And so we...
And we were.
We were fine. And so I was like, I will take responsibility for driving out of Nevada. And we did. And we were on our way out of Vegas. We were in Utah and like...
It wasn't a lot of time. I think the one thing I remember... that, you know, I felt most memorable about that drive is that the landscape was so crazy on the way out.
It was desert. It
very,
was mountains.
Very different.
It was hills. There was a lot.
Yeah. And when I was out in Vegas when I was a kid, we really didn't do that much exploring necessarily. We went to Lake Mead, and that's about all I remember, which we passed on our way back into Vegas at the end of this trip.
That was just the taste of what would be Utah.
Yeah. Who knew?
And we've talked about it before, but Utah. Oh my God, girl, where have you been?
Yeah.
And psych, she's been there the whole time.
I know. So I think we at one point I think we actually ate a Burger King lunch. We didn't eat a McDonald's lunch.
Oh, we did.
Lunch. Yeah.
So this is literally like trip number one.
Right. This is trip number one. We're finding our footing all over the place.
We're finding our footing all over the place on this trip. We were both hungry.
Right.
And it was a hilarious like negotiation in the car to get to the conclusion that we were both okay with fast food.
Oh yeah.
It was like, so what are you thinking? Oh well, I don't know. I mean, what about you? I mean, well, I could be down with something simple, something quick.
Yeah.
What about Burger King? Oh yeah. Great. I would love that. Perfect. We're doing it. I mean, like it was that. And
well,
we
hadn't brought any snacks with us. We were like
hilariously.
You know, but I think again, we were just trying to figure out what do we want to do? And we're like, we should eat lunch now. And then we stopped at the gas station, we picked up like some bananas like some like $8 trail mix because it's a gas station. We're like, okay, this will sustain us while we're hiking, kind of thing. We got our gas and then kind of headed on our way, and you know, we get really, really close to Zion, and it's just, the landscape just becomes more and more incredible.
Oh, yeah. We had stopped. I was like, we have to pull over and take photos of this.
Because there was kind of like a pull-off parking lot. It was magnificent. Yeah.
There were a number of them.
Yeah.
It was mountainous. There were also mesas. There were also just like hills. There was, I mean, right and left, everywhere you turned through on this drive.
Right.
And then when you finally get closer to... Because we had to drive through the town.
Springdale. No, we didn't drive through Hurricane.
We didn't drive through Hurricane?
No, we didn't go to Hurricane until after we hiked.
Okay, so we drive through Springdale. And
which
Springdale
is like right
is
before
just...
Zion. And it's all cute, like artists kind of community.
Oh my God, it was so cute. Yeah. I was like, I get it.
Right.
I get why people like are here. I understand it. Like, I mean, it is just another place where you are like closer to the heartbeat of the world.
Right. And it was something we definitely didn't have time for, but we were like, if we ever go back to Zion, it's like we need to spend a little bit of time in Springdale.
Take a stroll through Springdale because it's just perfect.
Right. So we drive through Springdale and we get to the gates of Zion. And I think at this point it wasn't terribly late. I want to say we were there around 10:30 is by the time we got there after, you know, our Red Roof Inn experience, breakfast and the ride.
But it was feeling to me like 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Like that's what my body was processing.
We were jet lagged.
Oh, completely.
Yeah. So yeah, just remember that we were jet lagged when we tell you everything that we did today because
completely
again,
jet lagged.
Complete crazy people.
And this was where we bought our first annual pass.
Right, right.
Hello,
so
welcome annual pass.
We had done research ahead of time and I was like, we really should do this annual pass. And I was like,
it was going to save
$80
us
each.
Just on this trip.
Oh yeah. I was like, oh, it's $80 for the both of us. Like, that's like nothing. And we're going to see 6 national parks at
Come
the
on.
Time, 5 national parks before we added the other one.
Right.
We're like, this is so worth it. And then we get up to purchase the pass and they're like, oh yeah, you can put 2 people on a card. $80 for 2 people.
Because we had both like said, like you'll buy a pass, I'll buy a pass.
Right.
Like I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then we were like, look,
common law friendship.
Coming
exactly.
back around.
That's right.
So
they don't need to know.
They don't need to know. Right. Oh, also, update Corrections Corner.
Corrections Corner.
This annual pass, which we mentioned in episode 1, being something that we could use to get onto that beach here in
New Jersey.
Psych, I tried and I could not because it was not an entrance fee. It was a parking fee.
I got
and
you.
And that was how they got around it. Like, I asked the ranger because it was a national park.
National
Park Service person.
Right.
I was like, hi, I have the annual pass. And they were like, he goes, oh my God, I know. I wish you could use it here. He goes, unfortunately, you can't because it's a parking fee.
Oh.
He's like, you're not actually, it's not an entrance fee. And I said, so I could just walk up here on foot and get in for free? And he's like, oh yeah, anybody could do that.
Mm.
It's just parking. But the thing is, like you have to drive like 5 additional miles to the first beach after you cross the gate. So it doesn't make sense for you to park outside and like walk the 5
You could
miles.
Bike it.
You could bike it.
Yeah.
But I think there's also a biking parking fee. I know.
Ew.
Look at that. So we buy our annual pass at Zion Gates. And then we have to park the car. But all of the parking...
In the lots
are
full.
Are full
at this point.
Because it's like 10:30 now, right? Because the park technically opens at 7.
The park is always open.
Well, the park is always open.
Right.
But I think rangers start getting there. Actually, trams start running at 7.
Okay.
That was what the deal was.
Right.
And
that was our next
morning. Rangers are like on
call around
call
8.
Around 8 or something.
Yeah.
I could be wrong about that. Sorry if I am Zion staff. You had brought with you a water bladder.
Right.
And by bladder, for to explain what I mean, a water bladder is just like a plastic pouch.
It's like
lives
a wine
in
bag.
That lives
it's a water wine bag.
It lives inside of a backpack that has like a tube that comes out and you can drink the water from the tube. Runners use it sometimes. Hikers often use it so that you don't have to worry about a bottle.
Exactly.
I had foolishly not brought with me a bladder.
Right.
I had one, but I didn't bring it with me.
Right.
Because I forgot it. So I was like, well, luckily we have Springdale, which is...
No, we were not in Springdale at this point.
Where is this now?
So this is like Zion Town.
Okay,
like,
well, we're in Zion Town.
Which is kind of crazy. Like, as far as national parks go, this was sort of similar to almost how Yosemite was set up, where it's like Yosemite Village. This was like almost like Zion Village what we could
kind of
say.
But it was technically outside of the park.
But there were people that had houses there. Like, you would pass through the gates already.
Businesses, hotels, restaurants.
Yep.
I thought you were talking about this when you were referencing Springdale.
No. Springdale was ahead of all this.
Well, Springdale was super cute town.
Yeah.
This town, this little Zion town.
Well, Zion town.
Was also very cute.
Yeah.
And so we ended up parking like a few blocks back. And there was an outdoor store, tons of hiking equipment.
A bathroom for you to use.
And a bathroom, obviously. And then I bought a bladder there.
You did.
And then we were able to start our journey back inside.
Yeah.
And I think with that, let's take a break.
Great.
Hey, everybody. We are actively planning our hiking for this year. And so you know what that means. Our moon travel guides are out and about. We're marking them up and we're writing in all of our notes. We sincerely love them and we use moon travel guides all the time.
Moon is our favorite travel guidebook publisher because their authors are real people who live in and know the areas they're writing about like the back of their hand.
And we can trust them. From hikes to campsites to city sites to restaurants, Moon Travel has you covered.
So ready to cross something off your travel bucket list in 2024?
Have a lot of great ideas for trips but don't know how to get started or keep your itinerary organized?
Wherever your wanderings might take you or inspire you to go, Moon Travel has you covered.
Moon Travel is the travel guidebook publisher for ethical travel.
Don't spend months trying to craft the perfect getaway when you can do it all with Moon.
Whether you're headed out abroad, planning to take on the open road, or want to wander the trails of a national park, make sure to pack a Moon travel guide with you.
And through the end of 2024, our listeners can exclusively get 20% off any Moon travel guide when you go to moon.com. Use the code GAZE24 at checkout.
That's right. That is moon.com and use code GAZE24. And that's GAZE24 for 20% off any Moon travel guide in Moon's entire library at moon.com. And that is exclusively for GAZE listeners. It's time to play Movie of Your Life.
Oh, okay, great. I love this game.
Okay, I'm going to chat with you about the movie of your life,
okay,
Mike.
Great.
Okay, and then you'll give us
the
answers.
Same, yeah.
Great. Okay, so in the movie of your life, Mike, who is going to play you?
It's such a, I think that's a really hard question. There are so few bald actors out there, but obviously we can change that.
But who gets your essence?
But who gets my essence? I think when, like, I feel like we have at some point like kind of touched on this before, and I thought I said like a bald-headed James McAvoy would be my movie of my life.
Oh, that's very good.
You know, when I was student teaching, my kids told me that I look like Moby. But I don't know if Moby acts, so, I can't ask Moby to be the actor in the movie of my life. So I feel like,
we could turn Moby into an actor.
Turn Moby into an actor.
I think if he
but
worked
with we've
a
seen
coach.
A bald James McAvoy in that movie Split.
Oh,
so,
he's great.
He's great. Just add a beard.
Let's do it.
James McAvoy.
James McAvoy. And now, in the opening sequence of the movie, say your childhood is a montage.
Oh, it's childhood. Okay.
Yes,
we're working
your
with
childhood
that.
Is a montage. Mm-hmm. What are you, what is happening in your montage?
So is this like childhood over time, or is this specific
perhaps
point?
Childhood over time.
I feel
time.
Like it's like, you growing up it, into however. James McAvoy.
Growing up into James, exactly.
So there'll be several different youth actors.
Exactly.
TBD.
So my question for you is, what's going on during that?
What isn't going on?
And also, what song is your,
man,
like?
This is tough.
What
we're digging
song
in here.
Is playing for this montage?
For this movie of my life montage. So I feel like this is like a montage of me like growing into my love of being an artist.
Okay.
I feel like it's, that is what's happening. Like different things that happened to me, like in art class and like different competitions that I took part in and like kind of like the disappointment when things didn't work out there. And then like eventually, you know, going to art school kind of thing.
Right.
Where we enter James McAvoy as myself.
Yes.
With all the movie magic. What song is playing? I think it's Just Another Day by Paul McCartney and Wings.
Oh.
I know it's like a female-centered song, but I just feel like whatever. Exactly. And right. I feel like that's a great... I love that song.
I love
and
that, too.
I think it'd be great for that montage.
Great.
Great.
Perfect.
So what about you? Who is playing the actor in the movie of your life?
Okay, well, I have to say, I have been, you know, in various different conversations, there have been like, oh, like, who's the person that looks like you?
Mm-hmm.
You
know, like and that we know kind who of that thing. Is.
And I have been told things like Bill Hader, mm-hmm. Who I'll take, oh my God, he's the funniest man right. ever. Dane Cook, which is very strange, and I don't agree
that's
with that.
Weird.
That's very weird, and I don't agree. But let's be real. The person who's going to play me is Daniel Levy.
Oh, my God. 110%,
from
yes.
From Schitt's Creek,
yeah.
Who is Eugene Levy's son.
Right.
He's David Rose on Schitt's Creek. There is a... actually, my personal Instagram account is right. a sketch of... some artist sketched David Rose, and that is my photo.
And it looks exactly like you.
And I think the montage...
Mm-hmm. Your childhood montage.
My childhood montage.
Growing up to become Dan
growing
Levy.
Up to become... Yes, right. Is just going to school every day and, like, being, like, made fun of every single day at school, but still, like, finding the strength in, like, your own friends and your family to, like, be yourself and not be afraid and still do it anyway. And, like... I think the
and
song that's
is
playing...
Beautiful by Christina Aguilera?
It is not Beautiful by Christina Aguilera, no. It is Hold On by Wilson Phillips.
Oh, beautiful.
I mean, I can't deny that song. I mean, no. I used to listen to that song on repeat on tape in my mom's car all the time.
Along with Amy Grant.
Well, here's my other thing, is that I think similarly to the way that some, like... musicals have three women who are singing the chorus of things, and that also happens in the musical Hairspray with the Dynamites, and that would happen. It would be like a live musical moment, like that
gotcha.
song, and it would be three drag queens who are dressed as Dolly Parton, Whitney Houston, and Amy Grant.
Oh.
And those are like the three.
Those are the chorus, the Greek chorus of
that's
your...
the Greek chorus.
So would
voices.
They would they show up all the time in the film?
They would
it be
up
kind of like breaking the fourth wall and
kind
like
of, and
a
like,
scene would happen and then it would pan to them.
Right,
singing
exactly.
A song.
Singing a different song.
Right.
Right. And then the
it's just like the Muses in Hercules.
Exactly.
Right.
And they also like would suddenly appear and play different characters
right.
throughout the whole movie.
I love this.
And that is...
This
that
sounds
is
like the campiest.
I love it.
Yeah.
I'm here for it.
Yeah, me too. So before we left that outdoor store, we had kind of talked to the guys at the desk about trails and like what and they thought would be good for us to do.
That happened totally organically.
Right. We, for some reason in Zion, even on our second day, which we'll talk about in two parts in our next two larger episodes, we really didn't stop at the ranger station
we
at all.
We didn't because we knew we wanted to do Angel's Landing.
Right.
And then we got so much information from those people at the store.
And I wish I remembered the store to just say thank you and give a shout out.
Yeah,
but
well, thank you. That
thank
lovely
you
store.
If you're listening
there are many
at all.
Of them.
Right, that lovely store. We talked to them about a bunch of things. They basically say, you know, don't even attempt the Narrows at this point. It was too high because of the snow melt or basically
exactly.
whatever the time this year we were. And it was cold. So they were like, don't attempt the Narrows.
And the Narrows is, I mean, Zion National Park is known for that hike. Angel's Landing is something that a lot of people could do. And
right.
I think the Narrows is like one step a little beyond that. Like you got to be a little more prepared.
Well,
for the
you're hiking in water a lot of the time. So
right.
sometimes you have gear that's
the
okay to get wet.
The view is spectacular
right.
at the Narrows. But unfortunately, we didn't get to go there.
Right. Other trips, future trips.
Other trips, future trips.
Right, exactly. When we spend time in Springdale.
Hike the Narrows.
And hike
exactly.
the Narrows. And go back up Angel's Landing, much to your chagrin. Never.
We'll talk in that episode.
So, you know, we were like, listen, we really want to do Angel's Landing. We're, you know, we just got in from Vegas and we're staying in Hurricane and we'd like to get a good day of hiking in. And they're like, well... Like, I think you guys should do Hidden Canyon.
Yeah.
It'll kind like, of prep also, you for Angel's Landing because you're going to have to deal with chains.
And it's not the hardest.
And it's not the hardest.
And they were super cool. And they were also like, And Weeping Rock is right next door to it.
Right. That was great advice. It really was the best sort of advice we could have gotten. So
we collect our new bladder.
We fill everything up there.
Yeah. They were super cool about that. And then we head on in. We had to walk on foot through down the road through the Ranger Village station.
Yeah.
We get on one of the trams. And these this is I would say Disney World level kind of transportation system situation, because as we're writing them, they were beautiful trams.
Right.
I mean, it's not a monorail, but it is a tram on the ground. But I did find out that when we were on our way, that Zion had a museum.
Right.
And I was and I looked at you and I was I must go to this museum.
We did that the second day too.
We did.
We were full.
We did a lot the second day for the second day episodes.
Yeah. Two of them.
And then we made our way to the tram stop. I forget what number it was, but it was the number 4 Weeping Rock and Hidden Canyon.
Right.
And I think it was only one or two stops beyond Angel's Landing, because Angel's, you could actually walk from those two.
I believe so,
they weren't terribly far from each other. So we get off, and it's to the right. So we're standing at the trailhead.
Right, and there's a split path, one to Hidden Canyon to the right, and one to Weeping Rock to the left.
And Weeping Rock was, on the map, 0.4 miles.
It was not far.
It was not far at all. You could actually see it. And what they mean by Weeping Rock, it was literally just this rock with water running down the side of it.
It's almost like a curved, tunnel, sort of, that you're underneath.
Yeah. And you're watching the water just drip off in front of you, and you're standing behind it.
Yeah.
And it's beautiful pictures.
Yeah, it was incredible. And it was a really nice little hey, here we are. I feel like there was a Boy Scout group there. There were a ton of kids.
Lots
of people. It's an accessible trail for
people. That you can literally do in 20
minutes.
There
were some steps that you had to endure, but it wasn't really tricky.
Super simple. So. I mean, I think it's labeled as easy.
Yeah.
So we turn around and we leave Weeping Rock, which was cute and wonderful. And then we go back to the trailhead. And then it's okay, now we have to go forward, make our way up to Hidden Canyon.
Right.
This is where I think we saw the sign that said watch out for falling rock. Watch out, right?
Yeah.
But it's a person dodging falling rock, but it looks like they're breakdancing.
Yes.
This sign. So we start making our way up Hidden Canyon Trail. Now, this is the first moment where I am doing actual significant hiking.
Right.
And I was
think we were both in jeans or something.
We were both in jeans.
Stupidly.
We both had our hiking boots on and we had jackets.
Yeah.
And I was and hats and whatnot. And we were walking our way up. And the beginning of the Hidden Canyon Trail is a bunch of incline switchbacks.
Right.
In hindsight, these switchbacks are really nothing. But to me on this day, never having done them before, I was stopping every 100 feet to just be oh my God, geez, I am out of shape. And I'm more in shape now than I was when we did that. But I was feeling out of shape on that trail.
Right.
And
I think we had both kind of prepped a little ahead of time. I remember getting on the stairs at the gym a lot ahead of time, wearing my hiking boots to the gym.
Really well, and I didn't.
Okay.
And you had told me, you were you need to bring your hiking boots to the gym.
Right.
And you need to wear them and get on the stairs.
Yeah.
And I was I am totally going to do that.
Nope.
I didn't end up doing it. And I paid for it on this trip. So we're making our way up, stopping every 100 feet. You're girl, just breathe. Everything's going to be fine. Take some water and let's keep going.
Right.
I think in this moment, you're am I regretting all of this entire thing? And I'm just sitting there going no, I promise I'm going to be okay. I'm going to be fine.
Yeah.
Right. And then eventually, after I found a groove, I was fine.
I think it was just that idea of getting into the groove of it and breaking into it,
Breaking into it. And now I know what that's like. And now there is a healthy amount of that somehow, even when you're prepared, because now I know how to prepare for a big week of hiking.
Yeah.
But there's still that moment of now I'm out in nature and I'm going to have to establish the protocol here for my body.
Right.
And like the first few hours of it is your body is screaming.
Yeah.
But then you're fine.
Yeah. Yeah. You get adjusted.
Yeah. We're making our way up, which is like switchback. And then it sort of levels out for a little while.
Right.
But then you get really close to literally the edge of the rock face.
Yeah. This is when rock started to get really smooth. Mm-hmm. We had like slippery rock. This is where we start to get the introduction to the chains.
To chains.
Yeah.
So describe for us these chains.
So depending on where you're at, depending on the park that you're in and the type of hike, if it's a hike where it could be very dangerous, where there's a big danger of falling or slipping off of what you're hiking on, a lot of the times the National Park Service has embedded chains that are like eye hooked into the rock face, which is basically a way for you to have something to hold on to propel yourself, but also to be safe. Looking back on it, I feel like those chains were great. I feel like I used them a lot of the time. Sometimes I didn't feel the need to, but I feel like on Angel's Landing, they were like compulsory. Like you needed to use those chains.
Yeah. There were times where on Hidden Canyon, the chains felt super necessary.
Yeah, and for sure.
And then there were other times where it was like, okay, well, it may not be super necessary here, but we already have the chain going, so we're going to keep it going.
Right.
Right.
Despite the, you know, serious nature of it all, I just feel like we just were so awe-stricken the entire time.
It was. I mean,
and the thing
that's
about,
the other thing yeah. about Zion is like Zion, everywhere you turn is just like the most beautiful, promising, unbelievable view.
Right. And I do feel like the nice thing about Zion is to like being able to see things as you're going up. And like, you know, there are some parts too on this trail where there was just like natural steps that were carved into the rock.
Right.
But like being able to look back into the canyon as you're coming up, the color change, the striation in the canyon face, the amount of greenery, like that's the one thing that was so special for me. I mean, one of the things that was so special for me is the color. Like in Zion, it just was incredible.
Incredible. And like as you were talking about, like the varying colors, like going up the side walls. I mean, that is fascinating. Like
right.
that is like thousands of year old rock, like just naturally forming.
Right.
And that was not something I'd ever really seen before.
No, neither had I.
And that's sort of what is presented to you and like as this beautiful picturesque view in Zion.
Yeah.
Back to the thing I say about like photos in the morning or in the evening when the light is coming in from the side, you actually see different colors come through on the side, on the rock faces.
Yeah. So we get to this point where it's kind of like there was a waterfall, right?
There was, yes.
There was water running. It wasn't like a gushing waterfall, but we have to kind of cross this little bit of like a, there's a bunch of stones across it, like little waterfall. And at one point you can turn and continue heading up like to kind of like the overlook point of the trail.
Right.
Or you can kind of dip into the Hidden Canyon,
which is a canyon
within a canyon,
And
that's what we did. So,
and it was really, that was a very flat area.
It was flat and sandy, but it was also shadowed. So we had like jackets and sweatshirts on, which
was
perfect. It was chilly up there. And this was like a gigantic like jungle gym.
It really was a great introduction to all of the things one might have to do while hiking in Zion.
Right.
Like you could get, totally recommend doing Hidden Canyon Trail as a first trail so that you can understand what's going on because you actually get a taste of everything.
Yeah, and I feel like it
was
accessible.
You get a taste of switchbacks.
Yeah.
You get a taste of chains. You get a taste of jungle gym bouldering, essentially, is what you're getting here. Because we would have to go, like, over rocks and, like, around them and, like throw our bags over and like climb up over a thing and like talk and help each other up.
And fallen trees that were up there too. Yeah.
Yes.
So, I mean, hiking back into the canyon, in the end, it really wasn't that far of a distance, but because we were jungle gymming all over the place, it did take a little while.
It did.
And like in the back part of this where it kind of terminates, there is like a little
arch.
Little natural arch.
Now,
that you could like,
For those people out there listening who don't know what arches are, it is literally an arch.
Yeah.
That is made.
Think about a doorway that you could
like
walk through.
It's like a doorway that you can
walk
through.
But it's a rounded hobbit hole doorway.
And it is made by the earth.
Yeah.
That is
made
what
by
the
they earth.
Mean by arches. Mm-hmm.
Thanks,
and
Mother Nature.
Literally, there is a national park in Utah that has so many of them that they have called it arches,
right,
which
exactly.
is another episode.
Right.
But we find this tiny little arch. And we take a bunch of photos and we're like, all right, there it is. There's the arch that they're talking about.
Right.
Like, I think they mentioned it in the store and like the maps mention
yes.
it.
Yeah, they were like, you don't have to go back that far, but if you
but
do.
It's fun. And
yeah.
we're like, why not? It'll be great. And so then we did. And with that, I think let's take another break.
Okay, great.
Hey, everybody. We are actively planning our hiking for this year. And so you know what that means. Our moon travel guides are out and about. We're marking them up and we're writing in all of our notes. We sincerely love them and we use moon travel guides all the time.
Moon is our favorite travel guidebook publisher because their authors are real people who live in and know the areas they're writing about like the back of their hand.
And we can trust them. From hikes to campsites to city sites to restaurants, Moon Travel has you covered.
So ready to cross something off your travel bucket list in 2024?
Have a lot of great ideas for trips but don't know how to get started or keep your itinerary organized?
Wherever your wanderings might take you or inspire you to go, Moon Travel has you covered.
Moon Travel is the travel guidebook publisher for ethical travel.
Don't spend months trying to craft the perfect getaway when you can do it all with Moon.
Whether you're headed out abroad, planning to take on the open road, or want to wander the trails of a national park, make sure to pack a Moon travel guide with you.
And through the end of 2024, our listeners can exclusively get 20% off any Moon travel guide when you go to moon.com. Use the code GAZE24 at checkout.
That's right. That is moon.com and use code GAZE24. And that's GAZE24 for 20% off any Moon travel guide in Moon's entire library at moon.com. And that is exclusively for GAZE listeners. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage.
Miss Olivia Life.
Olivia Life.
Olivia Life.
Of the House of Life.
Of the House of Life. Mother to Sorcia Life.
Mother to, and I think perhaps also mother to Kia Life.
Oh, Kia Life.
Kia Life,
yeah.
Right? Like songs in the key of life,
mm-hmm.
right?
Great, I'm adding that to the list.
Add it to the list.
Uh-huh.
But we're talking about Olivia Life today. Also, Life in this is spelled L-Y-F-E.
That's correct.
Right.
Yes.
And like in all caps, like
yes.
Olivia uh-huh. Life mm-hmm. is her name. And so, who is Olivia Life, Mike?
Who is Olivia Life? Olivia Life, I think, is a Leo through and through.
Oh, yes.
She is Miss Extroverted. She is everybody's friend. And she is here to just have the best time possible.
I also feel like she's everybody's mother.
Okay.
Like, she takes care of everybody. Like, like a true female lion.
She is the queen of coins as well.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, she just takes care of everybody.
That's right.
And if somebody wrongs her or one of her children, you are slayed.
Like, are you? Is she that? Is she a violent queen?
I don't think she's a violent queen.
Okay.
No. I think she's very, very tactful about, like, her... exclusion.
Okay. All right.
Like if you for some reason do not, I mean,
so
she's
you're,
the mother
you're
of this.
Excommunicated.
You're excommunicated.
Okay. Gotcha.
Exactly.
Gotcha.
You are not invited.
But I
you
just,
are canceled.
Yeah. I feel like she is like warm presence that always has food on for you at home.
I feel like her hair is really big, but it's silver.
Oh yeah.
Like she lip syncs to the song. This is like super specific, but I think she lip syncs to the song I Can Cook Too, which is a musical theater song from the musical On the Town. It's really fun.
I feel like for me, the song that comes to mind is Finally. It's happened to me.
Oh, yeah.
I just feel like that is like the most upbeat song.
So upbeat.
And I feel like that is her, you know, her lip sync song.
And she's just warm and fun and bright.
Oh, my God.
What is she wearing?
She is also Miss Frizzle. That's who she is. She is like, who Olivia Life is.
So
she has like very costume specific based off of the adventure that's going on that day.
I would also say like she is inspired by Miss Norberry from Mean Girls.
Oh, okay.
Like where she has that like vest with all the buttons on it.
And Miss Honey. She's basically all of these teachers that, these amalgamations of these teachers
exactly
that have given us so much.
She's warm.
Yeah.
She's bright. Mm-hmm. She also lets you know what's what.
Yeah, she's not afraid to.
No.
No.
Because you have to learn a lesson.
You do. Because life is a lesson, and you have to Olivia life.
So we start to make our way back down to...
of the canyon,
Of the canyon. Hidden canyon. It's not like a canyon. It's like a little narrow way.
It is, though. It's a slot canyon in some ways.
Oh, that's the name for it.
I mean, it's not as narrow as a slot canyon, but it's the canyon within the walls of Zion's Canyon, which is...
But what I'm saying is, like, it wasn't like a vast, sweeping, open, gigantic area.
No, it was not.
No, it was a small slot canyon.
Sure.
And we are making our way back. And on our way out, we decided to go over to that overlook.
We did. And when we were doing that, we actually ran into this dad. I think it was actually as we were heading out of Hidden Canyon, we started talking to this dad and his daughter, who was like a teenager, middle school age kid. Yeah. And we kind of just we hiked along with them.
We
talked about this in episode 2 on our hike to Mirror Lake, where sometimes you just happen to form a connection
and you
chit chat and you kind of are going the same direction and you just stick with them. So
they were wonderful.
They were great. He was, I believe, from Germany or Denmark, a Germanic speaking country, or Germanic country. And, he lived in Virginia and he was out there with his daughter. His daughter was American, you know, he had her here and they were great. And they took photos of us while we were up at the overlook point.
Mm-hmm. We took photos for them.
We took photos for them. It was just great. Really nice. And then hiking down, you know, at this point, again, we had gotten to Zion kind of late. We were there about 10. So I'd say and it was April. So the light was not staying in the sky for terribly long. And basically, based off of where we were, our hike down, we were pretty much in shadow the whole way. I just remember it being very cool.
It was much cooler.
And, you know, how to use the chains. The chains I felt were so much more important on the way down.
True.
Not that they weren't important on the way up, but I feel like just that descent and that slippery rock, having that to grip to, that was when it was really...
Especially when it got slippery.
Yeah.
That was really helpful.
So, you know, we kind of wind our way down. And eventually, I think at some point, we just ended up ahead of this dad and his daughter again.
And that was that.
We're like, it was great talking to you. I think we kind of talked about what we hope to do over the next day or so. And I think they were there for another 2 days. So
they
were trying to figure out too. So we were just kind of exchanging novice sort of notes.
We were also, because you can see from up top of the Hidden Canyon Trail, other hikes and other trails, and you can see people on them. So we were trying to identify which trails those were.
Right. And I think we were kind of fooling around with the West Rim Trail. I think that actually came off of, I think you could have gotten
you
that.
You could have gone onto
or,
the West Rim Trail.
I and that might be wrong.
Right.
But I know that we were very close to that potential hike.
Right.
And I think...
And it was big hike.
We could have gotten on the West Rim Trail from there.
We could have,
And we thought about it, but we were like, it's way too late in the day because it was long.
We decided we weren't going to do that. We were like, we could do this another day if we wanted to.
Right.
We hiked back down, but we did know we wanted to do this tiny little small trail called the Archaeology Trail.
Right.
Which was back near the entrance.
Right. And it was literally the tiniest.
We get on the tram
back.
And we head back to the entrance. We get off and literally, I mean, it's like a tiny little field and you just walk through. And there were placards along this trail about different fossils that had been uncovered in
Zion.
In Zion. And I, of course, read all of them I do that.
But this was magic hour lighting too.
It
was
we're getting
the most
close
beautiful
to
light.
5, 6 o'clock.
Also, we were we could have done something else, but we knew... We were so jet lagged.
Yeah.
We had slept literally for, 5 minutes
and
at the Red Roof Inn.
We were planning on doing Angel's Landing.
And
in the
planning on a lot of things the next day. So we're really okay with just having hiked Hidden Canyon, doing this archaeology trail, and peacing out.
So after that, we went to the brewery.
Right.
And we pigged out.
Right.
We ate a lot.
Yeah.
We had a beer.
Yeah.
And then we headed back to Hurricane.
Right.
Which is... Beyond Little Zion Town, beyond Springdale, and then you're...
It's about a half hour outside of Zion
getting
proper.
Getting to Hurricane,
right.
And so that's where our Airbnb was.
Right. I think we stopped, though, to kind of pick up snacks from the Rite Aid. I think we definitely, like, went to a Rite Aid and we're just like, we need all the trail mix. We need all these Clif bars. We need to get, like, bananas and apples and anything we can. So that way we were, like, better prepared for the next day.
Right.
And we ended up in Hurricane. And this was, like, house was gigantic that we ended up staying in.
And then, because the things that Airbnb brings you.
Yeah.
Airbnb.
Airbnb. Is it is it
like brie
slices
cheese.
Of brie that fly at you through the
Airbnb.
Air? Airbnb. Airbnb.
There you go. But I remember we get in, we're about to head to sleep, and you were like, okay, we have to get up early to do Angel's Landing. And I was like, if there is a 5 at the beginning of that time, I am gonna kill you.
Right.
And you were like, we can wake up at 6. And I was like, okay, great. Because it's only a half hour
drive. And I think that's what we were kind of anticipating, knowing when the trams ran and like knowing that we were gonna kind of need
that. Trams start running at 7. So we were like, we need to be on a tram right at 7.
Right. So we had kind of packed everything up that we needed to, laid out our clothes, we had showered, we were happy to be in a bed. And I think we both just slept hard.
And then the next morning we got up and did Angel's Landing. It's time for Jeopardy.
It's time for Jeopardy. And if you tuned into our last full episode, you will know it was a very contentious harsh round of Jeopardy.
Things got good.
It was real deep. All of the emotions. You've got me feeling emotions deeper than I ever dreamed of.
Yes.
And that's my category. No, it's
what?
Not.
No, it's not. Stop. Oh my God, I would die. Okay, all right. What is your category?
So my
Mike?
Category is based off of a phrase that we said all the time on our trip when we were in Utah, and it is our new slogan for the state. Utah, who knew?
I was thinking of other slogans that we were saying, and I also thought about
you know what I'm feeling?
The weight loss. Because it was...
That would be a great category, you know what I'm feeling, ... based off your
clue. That's good to know.
We'll figure that out later.
Utah, who knew?
In this category, you're going to be guessing things that are specific to Utah, but they're not necessarily like Utah-related history things. It's things that maybe happened first in Utah or things that are like more popular in Utah sort of things.
Great, I'm ready.
But it will be like in the style of like a slogan master, like ringmaster, like come one, come all. So,
great.
Ready?
I'm here for it.
All right. Come on down and see the marvels of the first chicken fast food chain of its kind. While the name may denote another state's ownership, it was Utah that housed and opened its first franchise location.
What is Kentucky Fried Chicken?
That is correct.
Wow.
That was really interesting for me to find out.
For a moment, I thought you were going to say the fast food chicken place that shall not be named.
No.
And I was like, that
wouldn't really make sense. Because it's a different religion. You know what I mean?
Oh, it is. Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. Okay, great.
All right. Utah, who knew, for 200. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, feast your eyes on this incredible body of water, which is 9 times saltier than the ocean itself. Watch as your sodium levels fly through the roof in this miracle of the modern age.
What is the Great Salt Lake?
That is correct. Utah, who knew, for 300. Why name a star when you can name a national treasure? Be the first to discover an undocumented one of these in a national park with a literal sounding moniker, and you can name it.
Is it an arch?
That's correct.
What is an arch?
Yeah, what is an arch? Is it an arch? For a while, I don't know if it's still going on, but for a while, if you in Arches National Park found an undiscovered arch, you could actually name it.
Stop it.
Yeah, that was very interesting little history that I found. Again, not sure if it's still happening because they may have all been discovered at this point.
I really don't understand how they wouldn't be because it's like just flat land.
Right.
And it's like there is an arch.
Right.
You know.
All right. Utah, who knew, for 400. Behold the glory and wonder of this classic tart chartreuse color dessert consumed by more Utahians than any other part of the population. May its blob-like form inspire you to not only move to the state, but add shredded carrots to it so you too can mimic the patterns of the locals.
Okay, so my instinct was Jell-O. Is it Jell-O?
It's a very specific kind of Jell-O.
Is it lime Jell-O?
It's lime green Jell-O. shredded carrots. Yeah.
For a moment, I thought it might have been like a fruitcake or something.
But no.
Wait, they eat lime green jello more than any other part of the country.
Apparently.
With carrots in it?
With shredded carrots in it.
How did you find this out?
I just looked up information on Utah.
Fascinating.
Fascinating.
Okay.
And here is our $500 clue. That probably should have been it, but that's okay. Here we go. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Gaze your eyes at this surveying marvel, a place where everything is at the right angle, which can also be seen in three other surrounding states.
Oh, what is the Four Corners?
That's correct.
Yes.
Look at that.
The Four Corners are Utah, Colorado, New Mexico, and Arizona. Well done.
There we go. A lot easier.
That was a lot easier.
Yep.
Not that we should shy away from tough or challenging categories.
Right.
It's good.
It is good.
There was a lot of really great stuff about that category last time. Okay, are you ready for this category?
I am.
This is A Queen Is Born.
A Queen Is Born.
A Queen Is Born.
My favorite.
So in this category, I will describe the origin story of a drag queen, and you have to give us her name.
Okay, great.
All right. Some of these are names we've come up with, and some of them are not.
Oh, I know.
Here we go.
Okay.
First clue. When a woman from Baltimore walks through her home and stubs her toe and cries out to the heavens, this queen is born.
You are stumped. I am really stumped. A woman from Baltimore walks through her home and stubs her toe and cries to the heavens.
I will say toe is part of her name.
Okay.
We were looking for what is Irma Toe.
Oh, Irma Toe. I forgot about Irma.
Irma Toe.
Irma Toe. Okay.
Okay.
I got it.
Next clue. Here we go. An unfamiliar queen.
Okay.
Here we go. When one goes to the gym to get back to the basics and chooses to focus on basic gymnastics exercises to get stronger and more graceful, this queen appears.
I think I've just got morning brain because I am having a real hard time with these. I don't know. This is like the category that I gave you yesterday. I am having the most trouble.
It's okay. Who is Miss Calisthenics?
Oh, Calisthenics. Okay. Uh-huh. Got it.
We have to add her to the list.
We do have to add her to the list.
Yes.
Okay.
Here we go. The next clue.
Notice how I'm keeping calm here and not vicious.
Oh, come on, please.
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. When you commit a crime that is not severe enough to be considered a felony, this queen appears to defend you in court.
I really am struggling so bad with this.
A crime that is not a felony is a what?
Oh, who is misdemeanor?
Yes. That could be misdemeanor.
I think misdemeanor if you're nasty.
Yeah. Misdemeanor. Right, there you go.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh, my God. Really, all the struggle. I am on the drag queen struggle bus this morning.
No, you're not. You're doing fine. You're going to bring it back. Here we go. $400 clip.
Okay.
When wow chips from the 90s materialize in human form, this queen appears.
Who is Lady Olestra?
Yes.
That's right.
I just love the name Olestra. I think it's so good.
Lady Olestra. She's like a Shakespearean villain.
Yes.
Yeah.
Fully. When the oldest sister from the Brady Bunch commits her life to helping to research and prevent birth defects while sauntering down the street to collect 10-cent coins, this queen appears.
Oh my God. So this is hilarious and also all sorts of wrong, but is it Marsha Dimes?
Yes, it is.
Who is Marsha Dimes? Oh, my God. Marsha Dimes.
Right? Isn't she great?
Marsha Dimes. That's a great one.
She is. She works in nonprofits.
She does. Marsha Dimes.
Marsha Dimes.
Very, very good.
This has been Gaze at the National Parks, the podcast.
And we're here to remind you to hike early and hike often, and that adventure is always out there.
Follow us on Instagram at Gaze at the National Parks.
Gaze at the National Parks was created and is hosted by Dustin Ballard and Michael Ryan.
This episode was edited by Dustin Ballard.
The theme song and original music was written and performed by Dave Seaman with Mariella Klinger.
All original artwork featured on Instagram is by Michael Ryan.
We would also like to acknowledge that while hiking in Zion National Park, that we were on the traditional lands of the Southern Paiute people.